There he goes again. Jesus is telling more parables. And there he goes again, Matthew, the gospel writer, taking the parable and turning it into an allegory. We talked about that a little bit last week, so we're not going to rehearse that lesson all over again. But it is important for us to recall that. You know, a parable doesn't have these equivalencies as Matthew seems to give to them in the gospel text. Again, if you look at the references, there's something in between both the parable and the explanation. And again, it's because of the questions of the disciples that Matthew sort of gives this explanation. And the explanation is a good one. There's no two ways about it. I mean, it is, after all, inspired by the Spirit, and so we have to listen to what it has to say. But for us to really dig deep and delve deeply into the meaning of the parable, maybe we need to put aside that extra explanation just for a moment and get some more detail about what's going on, why Jesus is using these images. For in fact, the images that are being used would be common everyday things that people of his day, people of his age, would understand. Most people sowed their own wheat, or at least knew other people that did. It was an agricultural society. And so these images that Jesus uses were not some strange thing out of their experience, but was part of their everyday experience. So these are sort of common sense things that Jesus is using. But there's also some information there that we might not have. So we need to understand it a little bit better to understand the image that Jesus is using. You see, in the time of Jesus, as you went out and you sowed your seed into the field, it could be that an enemy, as it says, an enemy has done this, where somebody wanted to get even with you, they could sow weeds among the wheat as well, and so you wouldn't have as bountiful a harvest. So it was a way of neighbors getting even with one another, so probably had been done in people's experience, and so this was probably not something odd that Jesus is using as an image. But one of the things we might miss along the way is the fact that the weed that Jesus is talking about is the bearded darnel. Now, the bearded darnel is a weed that looks very much like wheat. In fact, as they are green and growing up, you can barely tell the difference. Now, some of us have maybe had that experience, particularly those of us who are not very good gardeners. When you go out and you start weeding the flower patch and you start pulling things up, I've been scolded from time to time, back from the time I was a kid, unto the present day, that more often than not, I'm pulling up the flowers rather than the weeds. And if you have a patch of wildflowers, I can't tell the difference. And so there it is, that we have already in our experience that same kind of experience, that same kind of image that Jesus is using, that things look alike, and if we go in and we try to root them out right, you know, at the get-go, we might make some very serious mistakes along the way. The problem with the bearded darnel is also that it looks very much just not similar. They look almost identical until the seed gets ripe, and then you can tell the difference. But what Jesus also hasn't actually explained in his parable, but everybody else would know, would be that these two plants grow very differently. A stalk of wheat has a root system that goes down into the ground, where the bearded darnel has one of those root systems that sort of goes out. And so as it grows, it wraps itself around the root system of the wheat. So if you went to pull out the wheat, the wheat stalk would come right with it. It's not so easy, for example, as getting rid of the dandelions in your lawn. You can tell the great difference between the two of them. Or perhaps crabgrass or something like that, with which we might be a bit more familiar. It's very different than the Kentucky bluegrass that we want to plant in our or fescue or whatever those things. I need help here. All that kind of stuff. It's very different. looks very different, right, Sarah? Tell the difference, please. Mary Darnell and wheat cabbage. And because they grow very differently in terms of their root systems, it's dangerous to try to pull up the weeds before it's ready for the harvest. So Jesus says in the parable, the master of the garden is saying, let it grow, let it grow together. In the end, we'll sort it out. In the end, we'll sort it out. And that's what I'd like you to focus on just a little bit. See, because in the church, even at the very beginning of the church, these early disciples reading this Gospel of Matthew, having it proclaimed in their midst, they were having struggles. They were having struggles with people who fell away from faith in Christ. They were having struggles with people who would turn in fellow disciples to synagogue authorities, or perhaps even later on during the Roman persecutions to Roman authorities. So they had people that were, in the mind of the early church, rather dangerous. They were weeds among the weeds. And so the urge of the human nature is to get rid of those weeds, get rid of them, cut them off, get them out before they cause much more trouble. The fact is, we don't often know really what the difference is between a weed and a wheat. We might think we do, but often we make a mistake. Think of this. During the last several decades, we've become very sensitive to our dietary intake. Those of us who have been trying to watch cholesterol and all that sort of thing, for a while we were told no butter, no eggs, etc. Well, more recent wisdom says you need the other proteins and nutrients in the egg, and after all, the yolk isn't all that bad for you to start with, so eat eggs. And now, you know, we did away with butter almost entirely. We started eating margarine, and we made the margarines taste more and more like butter. In fact, one of the brands is something like tastes just like butter or something. I can't believe it's not butter. That's it. You know, so you got all that going on. Well, now we're told that the margarines are bad for you. You really should go back to the natural foods, which is the butter. Just don't eat a lot of it. Studies even show how people who do a lot of French cooking with lots of butter, just like Julia Child used to do, actually are fairly healthy heart-wise. Well, probably because they also added a little red wine to their diets, you know. But, you know, those are the kinds of things. So, you know, what is today's wisdom is tomorrow's problem. Maybe it's like that in the church, too. That from time to time we can get so caught up in trying to see things in our penchant for wanting things black and white, clear, good, evil, that we go about the business of trying to root out sin and root out evil, when in fact we might be doing something contrary to the will of God. And that, after all, is the very source of evil and sin, doing things that are contrary to the will of God. How we discern and learn the will of God becomes critically important. Part of that teaches us really that life is not full of black and white, those clear markers of good and evil. Most of life is very gray. There's a certain amount of ambiguity in our lives that we don't like living with, but in fact may even be holy. It may not be something that we simply want to get rid of, but rather is something that is good for us. To be able to help us to begin to discern good from evil and figure it all out, so that in the end, we are bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. So what if there's a weed next to me? Who cares? In the end, God will sort it all out. That's part of what Jesus is trying to get at. We might be so busy trying to make ourselves pure that we forget that that's not our job. That our job is simply to be good seed, to take the kingdom of God, to take the gospel of Christ, and to sow it in the world in such a way that other people come closer to God and begin to understand the great love and grace shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That that's our job. It's not our job to judge as to whether someone is good or evil, whether they are the wheat or the tare. It is that for us That we are good enough to take care of ourselves. And that in God's good grace that we will grow and bear fruit for the kingdom. That's what God gives us to do. The rest of it is up to Him. God is the one who will sort it out in the end. Well, does that mean we sort of take an attitude? Whatever. Not really. No. Because it is about making ourselves in tune with the mind of Christ. It is about making ourselves part and parcel of the values of the kingdom of God. It is about ourselves, by God's grace, becoming true fruit-bearing wheat and not turning into one of the weeds. That's what this parable is about. Ultimately, it's about the fact that God is the one who will make it all right in the end. It's not our job. Our job is simply to be planted and to grow and produce as much fruit, as much seed as we can possibly produce. That's where our energy needs to go, not worrying about the weed next to us. God will take care of us. That relieves us of a lot of anxiety and a lot of responsibility. If we're not responsible for the purity of the church, if we're not responsible for sorting out good from evil, black from white, and every constant little thing that we talk about, then we can get about the business of focusing our attention with laser-like precision on the life of Christ and the path that He sets out for us, and we can follow it utterly. We don't need to worry and spend all that energy ripping up the weeds. Because it's in the end that the harvest will come through, and the fruit that's born will make the difference whether you are burned in the fire or gathered into the barn. Think of it that way, then really what we should spend our energy doing is bearing good fruit. Fruit that is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit that is joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. Fruit that is wisdom, counsel, courage, fortitude, the kinds of things that are born of the Spirit. If we cultivate those things in our minds and in our hearts, we need not worry whether we'll be gathered into the barn or into the fire. The judgment of God will take care of that all by itself. So the question becomes, what fruit are you going to bear as you come to full maturity? As the grains of wheat are formed toward the end of the life of that wheat stalk, will it produce the kind of grain that is useful for the kingdom of God? That's the question we need to look at. That's what Jesus, I think, is trying to get us to understand. That it isn't about the weeds, it's about us. And that we become the wheat and bear much fruit. If we do that, we need not worry about the harvest. That's the worry, the job of the harvest master. And in the end, God will make it